All right, I'm going to go all over the place today. Is that all right? All right. We're going to be in Genesis, we'll be in Exodus, we'll be in Luke, and then we'll end up in Revelation. How's that sound? We'll be all over. So follow along. Get ready to flip back and forth, right? So we see Jesus has this trouble with the Pharisees, and we spoke about them, and they just don't like Jesus, and they portray this sense of righteousness, and Jesus, he's like, that's not real, it's not true, and he's always calling them out on this, and they always have these arguments, and they hate him. But then there's people who hate Jesus even more than the Pharisees. It's another group called the Sadducees, and these are the ones who are sort of in charge of the temple. They're the ones charging the tax, and they're quite wealthy. And they only believe in five books of the Bible, the first five, which are what? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Numbers. Well, Numbers was before Deuteronomy. That's right. Thank you, teacher. I said, yeah, she was. They only believe in those five books. And they don't believe in angels. They don't believe in the resurrection. And so what they believe in is, you got to get it now. Get it while it's hot, because there is nothing else after this. This is all there is. And that's hopelessness, isn't it? And so we go to the book of Genesis, and we see the story about this man named Jacob. And he's got 12 sons and one daughter, and this, you know, from four different women. And so they don't get along real well. Surprise, surprise, huh? A family not getting along. So They decide to sell off the one brother, and they sell him off into slavery and tell the father that he was killed. And this is a dysfunctional group, huh? But in the middle of the story of Joseph, who we know that goes to Egypt and becomes in charge of the whole deal and saves everyone through the famine, there's a little story in the middle about a man named Judah and his wicked ways. He goes out, he leaves his family, and he goes out and lives in the sinful city. We saw when Lot did that, right? He left the country and he went to go live in the city of Sodom, and we know how that turned out. Same kind of thing. Judah goes to another town to live the way he wants to live, not following God. And so there he is, and this is right there in the middle, and there's a reason for this story. At that time, Judah left his brothers, and he went down to stay with a man of Abdullam named Hira. And there Hira met the daughter of a Canaanite woman, and he marries her. He's supposed to marry one of his own kind, right? Don't marry outside the people, because they will influence you. They will lead you away from God. Come worship our God, they'll say. He has more fun. Their God has more fun than ours. So he married her, and she became pregnant. She gave birth to a boy. They named him Ur. And then she had another son, and she named him Onan. Then she had another son, and they named him Shelah. So Judah, when the boys grew up, Judah got a wife for his firstborn son, and her name was Tamar. But you see, Ur was wicked in God's sight, and God struck him down. According to the old rules of the Middle Eastern culture, the son had to marry the wife's widow. I'm glad we don't do that today. I don't like my sisters-in-law. I like them, but married? And then have children with them, because the bloodline's got to go on. This is before the Levite, before Leviticus, right? Because it's not written yet, is it? This is the rule, this is of the time. You got to marry, your son's got to step up and marry the brother's wife. His name was Onan, and he too was wicked in God's sight. And he was struck down. Now we got the third boy, right? He's like, uh-oh, I don't like how things are going. Married to her, but he's supposed to marry her, right? This is what the law says. This is what tradition. She's going to be out there on her own. Who's going to take care of her? But Judah says, nah, go back to your family. Go back to your father. So one day, Judah's walking up the street, and going into town, and in those days, they had shrines, and there would be a woman of the evening was working there, right? Because Kelly's there. And so he says, how much? I don't have any money. Can I get it on credit? She goes, okay. Sorry, I missed a key point there. It's Tamar in disguise. She goes and dresses herself as the woman of the evening. And here comes Judah, first customer of the evening. And they conceive and she gets pregnant. But he has got no money to pay her. So he says, well, give me something that proves it was you. Like your watch or your name or a cord or your staff. So you come back and get it when you with your payment. He goes, deal. The Bible's weird, isn't it? This is a real story. Genesis 38. She becomes pregnant. She goes back to her home, and they find out, the townspeople find out that she's pregnant without a husband. She's got to be what? Stoned to death, right? They got to take her out and stone her. But then she pulls out the cord and says, it was Judah. Judah's like, whoops, she's better than me. She's more righteous. Then she has a child, and the child is named Perez. Perez begets. His great-great-great-great-grandchild becomes King David. God, in the middle of this, brings forth the line of David where we know Jesus comes from. And then we go back on to the story of Joseph. So what's this story doing here? It shows that the line of God's got a plan, and he'll use who he's going to use. He'll use me plunging a toilet to talk about Jesus to somebody, right? This is what we do. He's going to use this woman in this method, this trickery. God's going to bless this. Something good's going to come out of it. But there's a rule, right? Here's what we're getting. Since as long as time began, the next son's got to step up and marry the widow. So the question is, Jesus now, we're going to go back to Jesus' book of Luke chapter 20. Jesus is arguing with the Sadducees. They're trying to trick him. They're trying to trick him any way they can to say something blasphemous so they can have him arrested and killed. But he doesn't fall for it. Right before this, we see where they come up to him and say, should we pay taxes or not? Because if he says yes, he says he supports Rome. If he says no, he's a rebel, right? What's the right answer? Should you pay taxes or not? Jesus says, well, give me a coin. And whose face is on the coin? Caesar's. Caesar Augustus. This is his coin. So Jesus says, give to Caesar's what is Caesar's, and give to God what is God. Don't you love? Is that the best answer you've ever heard to any question? It's so good. It's like we were talking about Joshua on the battlefield of Jericho, right? And what's the angel say? He speaks just like Jesus, doesn't he? Are you with us or against us? Remember what the angel said? No. Are you with us or against us? Nope. That's not an answer. This side or that side? Are you rooting for the Eagles or not? If you're not, you're crazy. You're rooting for the Eagles, right? Tomorrow night. We got the whole free day, Fran. What are we going to do? Tomorrow night. Which side are you on? Neither. Which side are you on? The angel asks, are you on my side? Doesn't that tell us that that's Jesus? Because he answers the same way all these years. Oh, it's amazing. So anyway, they're trying to trick him. Then they come up to him with this question, because the Sadducees simply do not believe in the afterlife. This is all there is. So here in Luke 20, some of the Sadducees who say there is no resurrection, they think it's ludicrous. That's the silliest thing they've heard of. They came to Jesus with a question. They said, teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife with no children, the man must marry the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there's seven brothers. The first one married, and he died childless. So then the second one married her, and they too died. He died childless. And then the third one died. And that one died childless. And then the fourth one died without a son. And then the fifth. And then the sixth. And then the seventh. They could have gone on and on, these jerky Sadducees, right? So the question is, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be? They don't even believe in the resurrection. So Jesus, if you believe in the resurrection, who's she married to in heaven? We're going to trick you. Jesus says, the people of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of taking part in the age to come and then the resurrection from the dead will neither marry nor be given in marriage, and they can no longer die, for they are like the angels, which you don't believe in either. They are God's children, since they are children of the resurrection. But in the account of the burning bush, even Moses showed that the dead rise. For he calls the Lord the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And he is not the God of the dead, but of the living. For to him all are alive. And some of the teachers responded, "Well said, teacher." And no one asked him any more questions. I shared this sermon many years ago, and a widow came up to me afterwards, and she goes, "I don't like this story. It's like when we were reading Corinthians chapter 5, we didn't quite like it. But it is what it is, and it's hard to understand. What's it going to be like when we're in heaven? Are we going to be married? I can't imagine being married to anyone else but Amanda. That's how it is. I swore in my life I would stick with her forever, and I'm going. It's been the best 30 years so far. You guys got 60, right? Is that what you told? Oh, isn't it grand? So what happens in heaven? Is it you too? They don't even believe in heaven. They don't believe in angels. What's it going to be like? They don't believe in the resurrection. They have the book there in front of them, the book of Exodus. They believe in that. We turn to Exodus chapter 3. We know that Moses, he's running away from Egypt because he was the prince of Egypt there, and he had all this power and authority, and he was a great military leader. But he kills an Egyptian who was beating up a Hebrew, and he buries him in the sand, but everyone finds out, so he has to run. And he runs away, and he's 40 years old, and he goes out to the desert, and he stays out there for 40 years. Starts a family, gets a new job, he's a shepherd. And one day he's out there by the great mountain, Mount Sinai, and he sees, now Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, who was the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness, and he came to Horeb, or Sinai, the mountain of God. My friend Dale Kearns refuses to call it anything but Horeb. And I go, what is she talking about? And I had to read. It's Sinai. Did you know that? I didn't know that. Keep reading. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from the burning bush. And Moses saw that the bush was on fire and it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I'm going to go over and check this out. Why does the bush not burn up? When the Lord saw that he had come over to look, God called to him from within the bush and he says, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, said the Lord. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. He said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, the God of Isaac. And Moses hid his face because he knew he was in the presence of God. This is the resurrection. Abraham's not dead, is he? Abraham's alive. Jacob's alive. And Isaac's alive. He's their God, not was their God. He is their God today. They are with them. They have been resurrected. Don't you see? And he's proved it. It's a little strange wording, isn't it? But he says, I am the God of. Present tense. Not was. He's doing it now. So we'd have this resurrection they don't believe in. So what happens when we get to heaven? We talked about that the other day. We know there's going to be a judgment. We'll stand before God. Who was also there? Our good friend Satan will be there. Right, Joey? Right, Larry? Satan's in heaven. It says so there in Zechariah chapter 3. If you don't, check it out. And in the Revelation, the devil is there in heaven. He's the accuser. That's what his name means. It's judgment. And what does Job want? An advocate. Job says, I really hope someone's on my side when I get to heaven. I really need one. And what does Stephen tell us in Acts? Jesus will be there, standing at the right side. Not sitting in judgment, but standing in defense of. And we know when we went to the cross, he did it in defense of us. I've told this story so many times because it means, it just adds it all up. This is what will happen. Then we'll be wearing white. Then we're invited to the wedding. What's heaven like? You see, we get stuck on what our idea of marriage is. My marriage is so perfect and wonderful, I don't want it to end, right? It's great. But when death tears us apart, what's going to happen? We get up to heaven. Who's she with? You know, she had a boyfriend in high school. He was killed on a motorcycle. That's why I got her. I never forget that. That's why I got a wife, because somebody else was killed. So who's she going to be with? And what does Jesus say? It's not going to be like that. He gave us marriage here to procreate, to have a relationship, to learn how to love. When we become, and this is hard for men, when we become the bride of Jesus, Fran, we're going to be a bride. We got to get over it. That's what we're going to be. Steve, you're not going to wear a dress. You will wear white. Take off your dirty clothes, he says, and you're going to have new clean ones. But we're going to be a bride of Jesus. It's going to be a festival. It's going to be festival joy in heaven. It's not the same. What's it going to be like? That marriage we have is going to be so much that we're going to be in God's presence. We can't imagine it, can we? What happens when Moses gets in the presence of God? Take your shoes off and you bow, Joey, right? That's what we learn on the field of Jericho. What does Joshua do when he sees the commander? He takes off his shoes and he gets on his knees because he knows who he's in the presence of, the Holy One. That's what it's going to be like. The Sadducees say, you only go around once, so grab everything you can. Take advantage of people, tax them, get what you need. Build your portfolio. It's okay to be rich. I'm not complaining about rich. I would like to be rich too. But you only go, and I am rich. Don't kid yourself. You only go around once. So Jesus says, grab all of God's goodness that you can. What's it all about? I plagiarized. I got turned this way. We live in a world full of sin, Daryl Bach tells us, including our own. And it's hard to appreciate what heaven will be like. But God assures us that he will make us like himself, we'll be like him. It's not just a place we're all going that makes the hope so great. It's just not the place that's going to be so beautiful when we get there. And we're going to see justice be served. We're going to see the evil one, the accuser, the one that accuses you in the throne room is going to be thrown in the fire. We're going to have peace. There's going to be no more strife. Jealousy will be gone. Pride is gone. Greed is gone. All these things are gone. And we're going to live with this new way. We're all together in this heaven that comes down to earth. And we're all singing on key and with the choirs of angels. All of us singing beautifully. Finally hitting those notes we want to hit. It's not just the place where we're going, but it's the people that we will be when we get there. You see, we're going to be changed, transformed. We'll be like him. We'll be in his presence. We don't need this marriage. This marriage is great here, but it's going to be different up there. That's what he's saying. You can't imagine. Your marriage is great, isn't it, Rob and Kim? But you've not seen nothing yet. You've not seen nothing yet. It's going to get better. Can you imagine? That'd be great. I don't want to marry my sister-in-law. Nope. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We don't want to be like Pharisees. We don't want to be self-righteous, and we don't want to be like the Sadducees, non-believing in anything, only in what our own things that we can produce and make and gather for ourselves, Lord. That's not who you called us to be. He called us to be obedient and grateful and to share and to love one another, to give of ourselves, to make it a kingdom, a heaven on earth today until the real kingdom of heaven comes, Lord. You command us to make this place so much better than it is. Blessing our marriages, making them so wonderful and pure, but even better when we are with you, when we are the bride of your Son, Jesus Christ. We sit with him in the throne room wearing white. He offers us saying, come, come those who are thirsty. Come and drink. Come and drink of the water of life. Come and take eternal life. This is what we're telling the world. Not all the things we have, but the things that we're going to have when we get there. We pray that we're good stewards of all that you bless us with each and every day. Sharing the word, sharing our wealth with those who need it. Being kind, being obedient to you. Thank you, Father, for the many, many blessings that makes our cup runneth over. Not the cup of wrath that you drink, but the cup of blessings that's poured upon us. We are a grateful people. We come, we go in the name of Jesus Christ, who is Lord, who is Savior. Amen. Amen.